టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 17 ఇది, ఫస్ట్ క్యాంటో థర్డ్ చాప్టర్ టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 17. ధాన్వంతరం ద్వాదశమం త్రయోదశమమేవ చ అపాయయత్ సురానన్యా మోహిన్యా మోహయన్ స్త్రియా. ద లార్డ్ అప్యర్డ్ అస్ ధన్వంతరి అండ్ ద 13th he alluded the atheists by the charming beauty of a woman and gave nectar to the demigods to drink. Now purport, we'll read text 18. Chaturdasham narasimham bibrat daityendram urjitam dadara karajai rurava irakam katakrit yata. In the 14th incarnation, the Lord appeared as Narasimha and bifurcated the strong body of the atheist Hiranyakashipu with his nails, just as a carpenter pierces cane. Panchadasham vamanakam kritva gadadhvaram balehe padatrayam yachamanah pratyadiksustripishtapam. In the 15th incarnation, the Lord assumed the form of a dwarf Brahman, Vamana, and visited the arena of sacrifice arranged by Maharaj Bali. Although at heart he was willing to regain the kingdom of the three planetary systems, he simply asked for a donation of 3 steps of land. Purport by Jivangrasesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Almighty God can bestow upon anyone the kingdom of the universe from a very small beginning. And similarly, He can take away the kingdom of the universe on the plea of begging a small piece of land. We are reading from the chapter, Krishna is the source of all incarnations. So here we are reading today on the 12th, 13th, 12th, 13th and 14th and 15th incarnations of Lord Krishna. The 12th incarnation, the Lord appeared as Dhanvantri. And in the 13th, he allured the atheists by the charming beauty of a woman and gave nectar to the demigods to drink. So this pastime elaborately appears in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the chapter entitled Churning of the Milk Ocean. In the last part of the Churning of the Milk Ocean, one of the portion of the portion, plenary portion of the Lord, called Dhanvantri appeared. So this Dhanvantri is also like one of the demigods who receives the sacrifices that are offered to devatas. So when Dhanvantri came with the pot of nectar, you will see the Ayurveda followers, they worship this Dhanvantri. He looks exactly like Vishnu. He is one of the expansions and expansion of Vishnu. Although he was very strong and well built, still the demons came and snatched away the pot of nectar from his hands. And there was a big quarrel that ensued amongst the demons. So when we hear these pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam narrates the histories of great kings, great personalities, sometimes even demigods and demons. And in certain instances, directly the incarnation of Godhead like Kapila and others. The whole purpose of Bhagavatam narrating these kind of instances is to ultimately eradicate all the anarthas in our heart. Anartho pashamam sakshat bhakti yogam adokshaje lokasya ajanato vidvam chakre satata samhita. So Srimad Bhagavatam is called as the Puranarko Dhunoditaha. Arka means sun. Puranarko Dhunoditaha. So Srimad Bhagavatam is like the sun in the dark age of Kali Yuga. In the age of Kali, which is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, this sun of Bhagavatam has risen in order to give light to the hearts of the people of Kali Yuga. Just as when the sun comes in the sky, all the thieves run away. Thieves have a great time only in darkness. Similarly, all the anarthas have a great place in our heart only when our heart is filled with darkness of ignorance. And when the sun or the wisdom of Bhagavatam dawns in our heart, then all the thieves and rogues who are like, who are haunting our heart will flee in all directions. So, the past tense in Bhagavatam, in a very inconceivable way, even without our knowledge, it plucks out all the unwanted elements from our heart. In fact, these past tense are so nectarian and delicious to hear on one hand. On the other hand, they do such a great task of removing all the anarthas from our heart and filling up our heart with loving attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the Lord is Purusha and we are Prakriti. Prakriti is feminine. The Lord is Purusha. So naturally, the feminine Prakriti is supposed to be attracted to the Lord. But between Prakriti and Purusha, there are many obstacles that pose in our lives, which don't allow us to develop that loving attraction for God. So Bhagavatam works on removing those obstacles. Like now we are discussing the pastime of Dhanvantri, Lord appearing as Dhanvantri and the asuras going and snatching away the pot of nectar from Dhanvantri. So from this we can understand how the demoniac people, even if they agree for something in the beginning, later on they will go back in their word. They will not they will not keep their word due to their lack of integrity. So that is one of the demoniac natures. To say one thing and do another thing is a sign of lack of integrity. So they made a promise. When demigods and demons came together for a truce, they made a promise that whatever comes out from the milk ocean, only Lord Vishnu will decide who will take it. And then none of us will touch it. They agreed for it. And when the part of, when the nectar comes, then we will all share and take. But then when the nectar part came, Dhanvantri brought it, the demons wanted to cheat the demigods. They knew that now we are very powerful, we will drink all the nectar and we will become very powerful, far more powerful. And the demigods will be cheated. Let them go weeping. Let them return back. So this was the conclusion. Due to selfishness. In that series of verses, there is a famous verse which says, Mitakkali rabutesham tadarte tarsha chetasam aham purvam natvam natvam yiti prabho. They are saying to other demons, all the demons were fighting. In fact, the pot of nectar was tossed from one to another. A bigger demon would take and then another more bigger demon would snatch it from his hands. In this it was going from one hand to another hand. When it was happening like this, it is said, Mita Kalir Abhut Tesham. Amongst them there was a quarrel. Kalir. Tadarte Tarsha Chetasam. They became bewildered in their minds. Somehow or other to enjoy it to the best possible extent. Everyone thought, let me drink as much as possible before another one snatches from me. They were thinking like that. But nobody could drink at all. They were all just, it was moving from one hand to another hand. And it is said, aham purvam, aham purvam. It is said, aham purvam means I first, or me first. Natvam, natvam, not you, me first. So here we learn the lesson of what is demoniac nature. Demoniac nature means selfishness. Only for me first. And everyone else, put everyone else behind. One has a great desire to gratify one's own senses. One does not think of others' conveniences. One does not think of the problems that one causes others. As long as I can get the things my way, what happens to others, I don't care. This is selfishness. So this selfishness is portrayed very, very vividly in our scriptures. Like Duryodhana, for example, was so selfish. He wanted the kingdom and he wanted to be the ruler, but he was not so strong like the Pandavas. So he made plots to kill the Pandavas. Because as long as I can assume the post, anybody who comes in the way, I have to destroy them. He tried to burn them in the house of Lakh. Isn't it? He tried to destroy them in the war. He tried to drive them into the forest, sending them on exile. You can see that. Ultimately, such selfish people will have no place. They will be destroyed. And the selfishness actually burns one's heart. That selfish desires, they burn one's heart. So, this kind of tendency is there even after one comes to devotional service. In the same purport, Prabhupada writes, the members of Krishna Consciousness Society should be alert about this particular information given in this verse, Prabhupada says. What does that mean? It means, even after becoming a member of Krishna Consciousness Society, if one is not careful about not being selfish, then similar problem what came amongst demons can come even in any society. There are so many spiritual societies nowadays, but you find that there is a cutthroat competition for capturing the limelight. Everyone wants to be known as the most important person. And everyone wants to be known as the one who has done something great. Everyone wants to be known as someone different from others. Someone unique and special and very important. Imagine if everyone wants to be that. And that position is actually reserved for Krishna only. Not for anybody else. But if everyone wants that position, in this world there is a constant cutthroat competition for becoming a leader. So in order to, in everyone's life, either consciously or secretly, there is a hard struggle going on to prove oneself to be great, to prove oneself to be very special and different from others and having some capabilities and strengths which other people do not possess. So by putting oneself in the front, or by endeavoring to put oneself in the front, or by endeavoring to become a leader, one will only face inevitable frustration. That is the end of such people. When one tries to put oneself first and others behind, one will eventually see that the material nature doesn't keep oneself in the front always. Like Jadabharata Rahuguna discussion, he was telling, Jadabharata was telling Rahuguna, "Oh Rahuguna, now you are sitting on the palanquin and you are my master and I am your servant. But this position may not remain the same. Tomorrow I may be your master and you may be my servant. And it may happen. And in this my positions may reverse. In this world, nobody can predict who will be where, in which lifetime." So, the great desire amongst the living entities to become the master sometimes gives them opportunities to become master amongst different species. Like you see, somebody becomes a dog and he can become a master amongst the dogs of the street, like that. So in every species of life you will find there is a great competition for being number one. Everyone wants to be number one. So aham purvam, aham purvam, natvam natvam iti prabhu. So putting everyone else behind and trying to take lead in the front and trying to be that person whom nobody can approach, it involves struggle. What is that struggle? The struggle is to struggle hard to keep oneself first. Like for example, if somebody is the richest man in the world, do you think he can be always richest? In order to maintain the top position, he has to be always struggling. If he doesn't constantly struggle, he can't maintain the position, so he will come down. So somebody is foolishly captured by this moha, illusion, that I have to be
a great devotee, not a good devotee. If somebody wants to be, show others as a great devotee, so being a good devotee is very easy. How can you be a good devotee? You be a simple, humble devotee. Do your services to the best of your capability, understanding that God has given different strengths to different people. And there are certainly very, very great personalities, and you can't imitate them. So one can simply be a good devotee. It's possible. Anybody can be a good devotee. But if one wants to be a great person, or one wants to capture the limelight, especially we say capturing the limelight, because there is a great desire for people to come to the stage, to be put under the limelight and shown to everyone that this is that personality who has done such and such thing. You can see that amongst common people, it's very common. What we are talking is not amongst common people. We are talking, even after coming to spiritual life, people have these subtle desires. They may feel little uneasy to express to others. They may feel shy to tell others that I have such desires in my heart. Who will say that? Because if you say, then you will be humiliated by devotees. If somebody says that I have such and such desires, you will be exposed. So one may not say, but without saying, secretly one has such desires in the heart. And why are we talking about it so much? Because if one does not work on removing such desires and being a simple devotee, then one will not feel satisfied in spiritual life. One will feel a great dissatisfaction that arises from lust for position, fame, limelight and all these things. Why, for example, some or other assume that you have stamped on others' heads and shoulders and you have climbed to the top and now you are maintaining your position by putting your leg on everyone's head. Somehow you are surviving. You will see that there will always be someone who is equal to you or greater than you, and you will be frustrated. Just like Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu subdued everyone in the whole world, including demigods, not only the other demons. And when he thought himself to be the supreme personality of Godhead, when he thought, then he had an opponent. Then he had Prahlad Maharaj, who opposed him and told him, you are not God, you are not supreme. Lord Vishnu is supreme. You are his subordinate. Actually, Hiranyakashipu became so angry when he heard this, because it was very hurting to his ego. When we consider ourselves to be a very important person, then our ego can be terribly hurt in varieties of ways in the material world. Because material world has so many arrangements made by which our ego can be hurt, especially when one considers oneself very important or very special. And in the same way, when this nature of considering oneself special comes from the desire for distinction. This desire for distinction is even more refined desire than desire for adoration. For example, if you say, all Shri Radha Kunjivari devotees are wonderful devotees, then you may smile, okay, it's all right. But you may want to be known as unique even amongst those devotees. Okay, Kunjivari devotees are all right, but not all of them are like me. I am very special. One may think like that. That is distinction. So, when one considers oneself important through such distinction, then one will also be distinctly put in a miserable situation, which that person only will suffer while others won't suffer. Like that. So, we can see, Prabhupada explains that demoniac nature means how I can satisfy my senses and my mind. This is pleasing to my mind, so I will accept it. In all activities, for example in eating, if everyone is served one gulab jamun, everyone should accept one. But if one thinks, I have to satisfy my own senses, so without anybody's knowledge, I will gulp down more, as much as possible. This is a very gross example of somebody taking more than what is one's quota. But we can extend the same thing to everything else that we do. Puja, la, pratishta, which we say, desire for adoration, distinction, and all these things. These are all in a subtle platform. How one is trying to grab the credit that is due for others. How one is trying to grab the credit of doing something wonderful, although one is supposed to share with others. One takes it all alone. So these are all on a subtle platform. When a credit should be shared with others, we should share it. When the credit is meant for others, we should give it for others. We should not share it. Like if somebody else has done the work, one should not share the credit for that. One should honestly admit that somebody else has done it. That person deserves the credit. And weak-hearted people cannot give credit to others because they have, their heart is poverty-stricken. Because they are fearful that I will lose my ground by giving credit to others. That is the problem. But actually by giving credit to others, you become glorious. You become doubly glorious. If you snatch the credit, whatever glory you get, by giving the credit, you get double of that. But the poverty-stricken people do not know that. Their heart is full of poverty. So they think that I have to snatch the credit, just as the demons thought. Like that. So, Prabhupada says in that purport, the difference between demons and devotees. He says, devotees always try to satisfy the senses of the Lord. They try to please the Lord. And they hardly care for the sense gratification. While pleasing the Lord's senses, whether my senses are satisfied or not, that is immaterial. Sometimes while satisfying Krishna, we also feel satisfied. Yasmin Tushtam, Jagat Tushtam. But sometimes while satisfying Krishna, our senses are not satisfied owing to our own false ego and coverings. But devotee doesn't care. Devotee says, no problem. Let Krishna be pleased. Like Prithu Maharaj pleased the Lord's senses. Although it might have certainly been very hurting to him when the Lord told him not to do the yajna. So Lord's pleasure is more important than our pleasure. Lord's satisfaction is more important than our individual satisfaction. So only when one understands this principle, then only one can become a devotee. In fact, this marks the difference between a devotee and a demon. So what you do in your spiritual life is not so important. Whether you do cooking in the kitchen, or whether you distribute books, or whether you are a preacher, whether you are giving classes, or whether you are doing singing. So we all are doing many, many devotional activities. But ask yourself, in what attitude I do this activity? Sometimes I've seen in some temples, in the, sometimes they never had this kind of chart in those days, So it depends on who is capable of quickly beginning the next kirtan. Like as soon as Mangalarti gets over, whoever gets the kartal, they will begin Narsingharti. So sometimes a person gets the kartal and before he begins Narsingharti, another person starts singing. They used to do that. Aham purvam, nattam nattam iti prabhu. I will sing first, not you. Sometimes there is a competition amongst people. Like some devotees used to say, if you don't give me the mic, I won't do kirtan. So, this capturing the mic, this really gives a very great sense gratification. Because, like once I was giving a lecture in one of the congregation homes, after the lecture one young boy came to me. He said he had a question. I asked, what is the question? He said, sir, how are you able to, control all the people in the room by speaking into the mic, You are keeping about 100 and 120 people, in control for 1 hour. I also want to gain this kind of some shakti, by which I can control the people. Then I told him, okay, you keep coming, you will lose the desire to control. I told him. So we are not giving pravachan to control the people. If one thinks I am doing that, then he's a fool. Is considered a fool. Because the pravachan is actually given for one's purification. But that poor boy, he probably was coming first or second time, he didn't know that. So, in the same manner, if people think that I want to sing, if you don't give mic, I won't sing. That means, you want to sing for, pleasing your own senses. To show to others how great you are. That is the desire. If you are actually trying to please the Lord, whether you are given mic or not given mic, you will just sit in one corner and you will be singing for Lord's pleasure, isn't it? Because then there is a real contact between you and the Lord, You are singing to the Lord and Lord is hearing, and others, whether they are hearing or not, that's immaterial. So it's very, similarly when we are doing any activity, in our spiritual life, we have to ask this question, am I doing it to please my own mind and senses,
Or am I doing it to please Krishna? You can ask this. And the proof is, you may say that I am trying to please Krishna. But if you are trying to please your senses, the proof is you will be frustrated. When that frustration comes, you write down in your diary, I was not trying to please Krishna, I was trying to please my own senses. On one hand, you will be frustrated, on the other hand, you will be craving for fame, craving for name, and craving for honor from others. Why are not people recognizing me? I am singing so well, I am cooking so well, I am preaching so well. Why are people not recognizing me? Why somebody who is not equal to me or as powerful as me is being recognized and I am not recognized? That kind of attitudes will come in the heart. So, such craving in the heart will create emptiness in the heart. And such emptiness will lead to frustration again. So, if one wants to be a happy devotee, then one has to give up this demoniac tendency, which is very prominent in the neophyte stage. In neophyte stage, there is a very great eagerness for being first. I want to be first and put everyone else behind. Like, you know, when Lord Krishna was given the Agra Puja, in every sabha, somebody is given the top position. That is the Vedic standard. Like, for example, in the temple, the spiritual master is given a very special position. And that position is very unique and it's very, very great position. Like in the sabha of Hastinapur, I mean, in the sabha of the Pandavas, in the Maya sabha, where all the kings from the world had come, Krishna was given the Agra Puja Padavi. And everyone is supposed to just extol his glories, just saying Jai Jai, Jai Jai Kato Krishna. And they were supposed to worship him. But Shishupal became very envious. He became very envious, you can see that. Because he wanted to be Krishna, he wanted to be in that role. So he could not tolerate Krishna being worshipped. So, in the same manner, we will see that different personalities are highlighted at different times. For example, when Marathon comes, Shri Gujaran Prabhu is the most prominent person, whom everyone has to follow. Like if you take bus party, then Lakshman Prabhu is the prominent person, or Shashipran Prabhu. In every department, somebody is highlighted. And when they are glorified, everyone else should join the glorification. There should be no hesitation in the heart. Amongst devotees, it should be like that. But otherwise, if that is not the attitude, if people have a desire to capture the limelight and be famous, the desire for fame is very dangerous. And the demons actually suffer, later on we see. As I explained here, then the Lord came, he allured the Yetis by charming the charming beauty of a woman and gave nectar to the demigods to drink. That is the next incarnation, the 13th incarnation. So when the demons were fighting like this amongst themselves, there were other weaker demons. You know what they said? They said, the demigods also were churning the milk ocean with us. Is it not our dharma to give also some share to them? They were asking. Because their idea was, if we speak dharma principles, then we will also get a little bit. Our share also we will get. They thought like that. So they were the weak demons. So they were also saying, why don't we share and eat? So these are like the communists. Communists, you see, they always talk of sharing and enjoying. On the other hand, there were powerful demons who were like capitalists. They said, no, might is right. We have the power, now nobody can come near. We will enjoy all the nectar ourselves. But the foolish communists and capitalists, they fight for the common property of the world. The communists fight for the stolen bread. The capitalists are trying to do political maneuvering to cheat the innocent masses. But while these two people are fighting, they don't ask the question, to whom does this property belong to? So the nectar belongs to whom? Dhanvantri, who is Vishnu's expansion. So none of these two people are talking about Vishnu because they are demons. That's the meaning of a demon. A demon never asks whom does this property belong to. He assumes that this property belongs to us. Just like the people of this world, they assume that everything in this world is meant for our enjoyment. Some people openly say that. They say everything is created for our enjoyment.
So the demons had assumed that the pot of nectar was theirs, although it belonged to God. But the demigods understood that the nectar pot belongs to whom? Belongs to Vishnu. Whenever Lord Vishnu gives, we will accept. As his prasad, whatever he gives prasad, we will accept. Not that we snatch it and consider it to be our own. So this is possession, possessive mentality. One takes the things of the world and possesses them, and over a period of time one becomes attached to them and intoxicated in attachment and thinks that this is mine now, and anybody who is competing for this, he is my enemy. That is how everything has become so worse in this world. There is no peace in the world. Why? Between man and man and country and country. If you see like that, because every country has made a demarcation. This is our country. And the resources within that country are ours. Like the Gulf countries have marked. And they are taking the oil. And the oil is theirs now. So America is trying to fight with Gulf countries so that they can get all the oil freely. You can see that. So everyone has made a demarcation. This is my zone, my area. And then they are holding on to those possessions. And they are attached to them. So there is a quarrel. So neither the communists nor the capitalists are going to become happy by stealing God's property. Prabhupada used to say, there are bombs in both the people's hands. Anytime there may be a bomb explosion and the whole world will come to a halt. Both the people have bombs. So the demons were fighting like this. But what did the demigods do? They went to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu saw that they are all very morose. Lord Vishnu assured them, oh demigods, do not worry. I will create a quarrel amongst these demons. And because they didn't obey me. And I will give you all the nectar. Don't worry, when the right time comes, you will get it. So be peaceful. And demigods are mode of goodness. So they naturally have patience. Patience is a symptom of goodness. Because good things take time to happen. We can't fight through. So they were ready to wait. And in the meantime, what did the Lord do? He assumed the form of a very young, beautiful woman called Mohini Murthy. In Srimad Bhagavatam 8th canto, there is a vivid description about this Mohini Murthy. It is said, when Mohini Murthy came, she looked like a fresh, newly grown blackish lotus. And it is said that her eyes were like bumblebees. And due to youthful pride, they were constantly restless, moving hither and thither. And her ears were decorated with golden earrings. And her cheeks were shining. And her nose was raised. And she had broad hips and thin waist. And she was wearing a very fine sari and wearing beautiful bangles in her hands and necklace on her neck. And wearing ankle belts on her feet. And when she was moving with feminine gestures and bashful smiles and cunning glances, when these were absorbed by the demons were defeated. By saying that. As soon as they saw her, they immediately approached her and asked her, Katvam. Katvam means who are you? Katvam Kanjapalasha Akshi. Oh lotus-eyed one, who are you? They asked her. Kutova Kim Chikeshasi. Kutova means where are you coming from suddenly to this place? And Kim Chikeshasi means what is your purpose in coming here? What do you want to do? Kasyasi Vadavamoru Matnate. So they were saying, we also want to know, Kasyasi, to whom do you belong? Which means, who is your father? You want to know. Because when we see your beautiful thighs, our minds are agitated. And when we see your beauty, so we want to know whose property are you. So that they wanted to approach the father and ask whether they can marry your daughter. So they wanted to know. So in this way, the demons became bewildered by seeing the beauty of Mohini Murthy. It is said this Mohini Murthy was so beautiful, she excelled the beauty of even goddess of fortune Lakshmi.
Because when Lord himself decides to become a female, then nobody can, even Lakshmi cannot excel his beauty. So he was the most beautiful. So in this way, when the demons became bewildered by seeing her beauty, and they took the pot of nectar and went to her, because they were quarreling amongst themselves, they told her, "You see, we are all quarreling amongst ourselves. So you please take this pot of nectar and you distribute it amongst us." And she asked a question. She said, "Oh, sons of Kashyapa, why are you giving this pot of nectar to me? Don't you know I am a prostitute who is wandering restless to here and there without being protected by another man? Don't you know people like me are exactly like the jackals or dogs or such similar animals who are always seeking newer and newer friends every day to enjoy with? Such is the nature of such a freely flowing woman who are not protected by any men. Don't you know that? With what confidence are you giving this pot of nectar to me?" She was asking. You see, her speech was full of meaning. She's telling them, "You are the sons of Kashyapa," which means we are all sons of sage Kashyapa. Kashyapa is such a great soul, so you also have to behave great, isn't it? A person who is great in wisdom does not put faith in a loose woman. Women are supposed to be protected by the father, or by the husband, or by the son. But if a woman is freely moving in the street alone without anybody protecting her, and is glancing here and there at different people, she must be a loose woman, and one should be careful not to hand over one's intelligence to her, or to become a slave of her. So she is asking, "People like me like to make friends every day, new friends. Such is our nature, and how are you handing it out to me?" But the foolish demons thought that she was simply joking. Prabhupada says that was because they were blinded by lust. So they were thinking she is just joking, but she was not joking. She was pretty serious when she spoke. But they thought she was joking, and they said, "No problem, you only divide it amongst us." And she again put a condition. She said, "If you are asking me to do this work, I will divide the nectar in the way I want to do, because I am independent to whatever I want to do. If you agree for that only, then I will divide it amongst all of you." And they said, yes, you may do whatever you want, because they wanted to prove to be perfect gentlemen in front of her. And because by moving her eyebrows, she glanced at every demon thought, after this dividing Amrit business is over, she will be mine. I can marry her and I can enjoy her. That was their intention, because of which they lost all their good intelligence. And then she told all the demigods and asuras to go. They fasted for half a day, and then they took a dip in the holy rivers. They came back, then they gave cows in charity to Brahmins and other charity to other people. They did all that, and they sat in the kusha grass facing east, and then ready for accepting the Amrit. So Mohini Murthy, she told the demigods, "These demons are like snakes. Who will feed a snake? If you what is that verse it says about the snake? If you payampanam bhujanganam kevalam vishavardhanam, it is said. If one feeds milk to a snake, the snake only will become doubly vicious and venomous and more harmful to other living beings." So Mohini Murthy said, "There is no point in feeding Amrit to this demoniac people, who will cause more havoc in the universe. Rather, I would serve it to all the demigods." So you all said. So she went. So what she did, she passed through the demon's robes. So when she was passing, she was moving very slowly, walking slowly, and her ankle bells and her feet were making sound. And when she was walking with feminine gestures and glances on each of those demons, the demons became very satisfied simply by the glance. That's all she offered them, nothing more. And that put them to rest. So that they were, and then she passed through them, and then she came to demigods row and started serving all the demigods Amrit. So in this way, demigods were nourished by the Amrit, and they became rejuvenated and strong. And at the end of the pastime, it is said, how the time, the place, the purpose, the activity,
All these things are same for the demigods and the demons. Like for example, the same time demigods came together, the purpose was one. What was the purpose? Getting Amrit, isn't it? And the facilities given also were same. They were using the Vasuki to churn. And the effort put was also same. Both the parties were putting effort to get Amrit. But ultimately, demigods emerged gloriously, while the demons were cheated. Why? Because they were against the purpose of Vishnu. Because they were against the Brahminical culture, against the purpose of Vishnu, and because they disobeyed the laws of Vishnu, they became simply cheated. So, this pastime also teaches a very valuable lesson to us, that just like these demons became befooled, these are all very typical nature of those who are demoniac. Even Prahlad Maharaj says that. He says that the nature of a demon is that he is selfish. He only thinks of himself, never caring for others. So he tries to gratify his own senses. And then when he says all these things, he says, and his target is woman, he says, at the end. He says that such demoniac people, they become captivated by material beauty. And because of that, they become a victim of their own wrong desires. So here we can see how the demons lost the game because of becoming attracted by the Mohinimurti's form. Now this Mohinimurti's form was seen by even the demigods also. But they didn't become attracted. Because it is said the reason why. Because the demigods, it is said when Rama came from the churning of the milk ocean, Rama is one form of goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. So she had a beautiful garland in her hands and she was searching for the appropriate candidate, and at last she found Lord Vishnu and she put the garland on Vishnu's neck. When Rama came, the demons were also attracted that time to her also. But then they understood that anyway she is not going to choose us. She chose Vishnu. But when demigods saw Rama, they saw her as a mother. And they saw the Lakshmi. And it is said Lakshmi opened her eyes and she glanced at all the demigods. And by her glance, just like a mother's glance on the child is considered very auspicious for the child. In the same way, the demigods became rejuvenated in their transcendental qualities and in their exalted behavior and in their deep satisfaction that comes from out of goodness, simply by the glance of goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. So, that is explained in Bhagavata, that when one is favored by the glance of Lakshmi, one becomes filled with transcendental qualities and devoid of all the unwanted qualities like lust, pride, envy, anger, greed, delusion, all that. That is why Lakshmi ji has requested Lord Vishnu that please keep me in your chest so that whenever somebody takes your darshan, I will automatically glance upon them. So they will also get the blessings of Mother, Divine Mother Lakshmi ji also. In that way. So demigods in this way were blessed by Lakshmi, so they never became bewildered by lust. Like the demons became bewildered. They always could maintain that kind of stature till the end when the Lord distributed the Amrit to them. Very patiently they waited. So, every one of these incarnations, they teach us so many valuable lessons, how we should live in our life. And the 14th incarnation, Lord appears as Narasimha. And the 15th incarnation, Lord assumed the form of a dwarf Brahman. So I would request whoever is speaking tomorrow to speak on these two. Pundarik Prabhu is here? Pundarik Vidyanidhi Prabhu? Because they can devote some more time to these two. Text number 18 and 19. Who was supposed to give tomorrow? Any of you? Pundarik, you can just tell Pundarik Prabhu the text number 18 and 19, somebody can speak tomorrow. I can take 5 minutes questions, I can take. Anybody has questions?
demons are attracted by beauty of Mohini Murti. But if we narrate these pastimes, we also get attracted by Mohini Murti. Then our role should be like demigods. Then
We are demoniac, that means. See, if you want to know how much demoniac you are, you can see how lusty you are. Based on that, you can know how much demoniac you are. It's very easy. In all of us, there is a demoniac nature and a divine nature in all of us. So, the demoniac element is there. It's not gone. We are now externally devotees. We are trying to become devotees. When you are pure devotees, we will see everyone as a mother. One is not supposed to be attracted to woman for enjoyment. So, that is pure nature. As long, we can see that there are different levels of demoniac nature. Somebody is grossly demoniac, somebody is subtly demoniac, and it gradually reduces over as you go higher and higher, like that, yeah. Actually, when you are hearing descriptions of Mohini Murti, what are you supposed to contemplate? In your mind, you have to contemplate that this is Krishna. She was looking like a newly grown black lotus. Krishna's color is same. Krishna is also bluish black. Krishna only assumes the form of Mohini Murti. But when Krishna becomes a female, then nobody can, even Lakshmi cannot approach that beauty. Yeah. Because Radharani herself is Krishna's expansion only. She is expansion of Krishna, but when Krishna himself becomes a female, isn't it? So, when you hear such description, at every moment we have to remember that this is Krishna who is assuming this form. And demigods knew that. Demigods knew that this is Lord Vishnu himself. Who is coming in this amazing form. So devotees actually, when Lord appears like Matsya Avatar, Kurma Avatar, Varaha Avatar, Narsingh Avatar, devotees are never bewildered. Not that you see Narsingh Dev and you become frightened and run away. No. Devotees don't become afraid. Like Prahlad Maharaj says, Naham bibhimya jitateti bhajanakasya jihvakane trabhukuti rabasogradam strat antrasra jakshatajashe Kshesara Shanku Karna Nirhrada Bhita Digibha Arivhinna Kagrat. In that verse he says, Naham Bibeti, I am not afraid of your nails, of your tongue which is moving like a sword, or your glowing eyes which is stealing the luminaries in the sky, shine of luminaries. I am not afraid of any of this. Or your mane soaked with blood, or your roaring sound that makes all the lions and the tigers and the elephants of the forest cry in pain and run into the bushes, lifting their tail up. So, even that voice, roaring voice, that doesn't cause any fear in my heart. So, Prahlad was never fearful at all. So, none of the forms of the Lord cause any trouble to the devotee who is actually approaching the pastime purely, because it's ultimately the Lord who is appearing in these forms. Lord is appearing to bewilder. That's why I was telling you in the beginning. Bhagavatam speaks very interesting pastimes which will be relishable to hear, but at the end of which our heart will become purified. Instead of just imagine that if Bhagavatam doesn't tell these pastimes, if Bhagavatam says, Lord is supreme, you bow down to him, worship him, that's all. There is no charm in that. But Lord comes in various forms. He comes as Mohini Murti, he comes as Vamana Dev. In all these different forms, the Lord comes to teach varieties of lessons. Lord Krishna himself says that I am the greatest cheater amongst cheaters. So how can we trust a cheater? Yeah, it's a good question. Lord says, Dyutam Chalayatam Asmi. He says in Bhagavad Gita. See, Krishna is not an ordinary God. People generally think the living entities of this world are so mischievous that when they go to temple, they think, okay, I'll pray to God and by praying to God I will do this or I will do that. And they think God is a very sattvic person, he's a good person. That's what people generally think, especially Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra very faithfully obeys his father. He goes to forest for 14 years. And then he's going, all duties he's doing very nicely. So people think he's a good God, and that good God can support me in my sense gratification. Okay, my dear good God, I have come to salute you. You know, take this coconut, take these flowers, and I want to have a girlfriend to enjoy, so you bless me. So Lord Rama may bless you or somebody may bless you. You go to Krishna, Krishna says, I have another girlfriend here, you see. You want to enjoy with your girlfriend, I already have a girlfriend. You worship me, you bow down to this. He is saying, see, Krishna is not an ordinary God. Similarly, that is why, how are devotees able to be brahmacharis and sannyasis? Unless one develops such emotions for Krishna, one cannot give up the topmost pleasure of this material world, sex life. One cannot give up. Because Krishna is such a God, that is why he is called as Purna Purushottam Avatar. If somebody thinks they can cheat Krishna, Krishna will not leave them. For example, Karna, his wheels of his chariot were getting stuck in the ground. So he got them from the chariot to extract the wheel. At that time, Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna, hit him. This is the right time for you to hit. Karna became very upset. He shouted back to Arjuna, Arjuna, do not cherish the path that is cherished by cowards. You are a hero. You know the codes of a Kshatriya, how you should fight. When I don't have any weapons in my hand and I'm extracting the wheel of the chariot, then how can you kill me? This is not appropriate for you to do. Follow the moral codes. So Krishna asked him back in return, my dear Karna, today you are eager to speak words of virtue, but let me tell you, you will not go with your life today. He said, where did all these words of virtue go? When you told Duryodhana to bring Draupadi to the Sabha and disrobe her in the public. Where was your virtue when you told Duryodhana to drive the Pandavas into the forest, although they were supremely righteous? Where did your virtue go when you guided the Kauravas to kill Abhimanyu, when seven Maharathis jointly focused on one young fighter like Abhimanyu and killed him ruthlessly, without following any law codes of the war? Where did all your virtue go that time? So, you are speaking words of virtue today as if you have become a very righteous man. But let me tell you, you will not go with your life today, he said. You are speaking words of virtue. So, Krishna told Arjuna, you kill him. And Arjuna sent the arrow and you kill him. You will see that. This is the meaning of cheater, greatest cheater. You understand now? When we say Krishna is the greatest cheater amongst cheaters, see, Krishna has the ability to make Arjuna kill Karna without cheating also. Because he is God, can't he do that? Why should he cheat? He can tell Arjuna, Arjuna, anyway, I am on your side. Let us follow the righteous path very nicely. And then let us kill Karna. You can do that. That's what many people in the world want Krishna to do. They say that Krishna should not have done these things. They say. But Krishna wants to show that although I can be righteous, but I will not be righteous. I will be a cheater to show the world that if you cheat me, I will cheat you 100 times more. That's what he wants to show the world. You see, we are trying to take the mundane moral principles and try to fit God into that. Like, you know, it's of course to be righteous is a mundane moral principle. But God is beyond all mundane moral principles. And God wants to show that if anybody is mischievous, God wants to show the world that if you can be mischievous, how can I be more mischievous? I'll show you. Krishna is certainly a very mischievous God. You will see how he steals butter from the houses of elderly gopis, how he steals the clothes of the gopis from the banks of Yamuna, and how he, you know, he tells all the covered boys, you know, they all climb up like a pyramid and they get the butter and he shares with everyone. When the gopis come, he runs away from there. So, you can understand that if somebody thinks they can trick God, God will trick you. That is the meaning of cheater. Dyutam chalayatam asmi. Once Prabhupada was speaking in a lecture, he was telling, if you want a cheating guru, you will get a cheating guru, Prabhupada said. If you want a real guru, you will get a real guru. And one disciple asked Prabhupada, how will someone want a cheating guru? Everyone wants a good guru only, nice guru only. How will one want a cheating guru? Prabhupada said, some people in their homes, they put a guru's photo.
A man with a big beard and everything they put on the wall. And any relatives come, they say that, no, we also have a guru. This is a person, he is our guru. Because they want to show the relatives and friends that we are also very dharmic people. We are also good people. And then once in a year when the relatives come, they will phone up the guru and say, Guru, come. Come to home and give ashirvad to all our relatives. And then take some donation and go. Take 1 lakh rupees donation and you go back. So Prabhupada used to say, don't make your guru a dog. Prabhupada used to say. So such people, they want guru only to give ashirvad, but they want to go on with their sense gratification. Then they want a cheating guru, Prabhupada said. So if you want a guru only who will promote your sense gratification and say, you will get dhanam, you will get putra bhagya, you will get dhana bhagya, you will get house bhagya, you will get car bhagyam, you will get job bhagyam, you will get foreign trip bhagyam, all the bhagyam you will get. And except Krishna consciousness, you will get everything else. And you will give ashirvad for all these things. You want a guru, then you will get a cheating guru, if you want a guru like that. And the guru will not give you Krishna, he will give everything else. But if you are honest and sincere, you want Krishna, then you will get a guru who will give you Krishna. In the same way, somebody may ask like this, if he is, Krishna is cheating, how can you put trust? Don't put trust, get cheated by other people. Don't put trust in Krishna, get repeatedly kicked by Maya in the world. Because Krishna never cheats those who are his genuine devotees. We have proof from the scriptures. Krishna has never cheated anyone who is a genuine devotee. Always. In fact, Krishna is such a great Lord that for the sake of his devotee, he has broken his own vow. Like Bhishma made a vow that tomorrow I will kill the Pandavas in the war. And the Lord had taken a vow that I will never lift a weapon. So either of the two vows have to be broken if the Pandavas have to be saved. Isn't it? Either Bhishma has to break the vow of not killing the Pandavas and not kill the Pandavas by breaking his vow. Or the Lord has to break the vow by lifting a weapon. So what did the Lord do? He lifted the weapon. He became Ratangapani. He took the chariot wheel. So this goes to show that for the sake of protecting his devotee's vow, Krishna will even give his vow and put himself in a shameful situation which he doesn't care. When it comes to question of loving his devotees, Krishna will. In fact, Kaunteya Pratijaniki Name Bhakta Pranashati, Krishna says, isn't it? So to protect Arjuna, how Krishna became angry on Bhishma. Taking the chariot wheel, he started running towards Bhishma. Krishna always keeps his word to devotees. He has never changed. But this question suggests, how can I put trust in such a cheater? That means the person who is asking the question himself is having a cheating tendency. That means he is thinking, I will cheat God, but he should always keep protecting me. There are some things which I will reveal to God, which he can know, and there are other things which I will do, which he should not know. That is my own zone. He should not come into that zone. That is my zone of sense gratification. So as long as we maintain that standard, double standard, Krishna will thoroughly cheat you. Like that Salamalo, you know Salamalo in that Tukaram movie. That fellow, what he was doing, he was reading one poem written by Tukaram, isn't it? He was telling that, you know, what doesn't give him taste? You know, some kind of intoxicants and all, no? They don't give me taste, he was singing that poem. But on another hand, he was having an intoxicant, isn't it? So his servant asked him, what is this there going on? You are having intoxicant in one hand and singing a poem that, you know, intoxicant doesn't give you any taste because you are absorbed in, you know, Krishna Bhakti or Vittal Bhakti or something. So Saramala said, hey, chup chap, you keep quiet, don't say anything. This intoxicant is for my enjoyment and this poem is for preaching to people. You are selling. So he had a double standard. So such people will be fooled. Mogasha, moga karmana, moga jnana, vichetasa. Takshasi masarim chayva prakriti mohinim chita. They will simply be cheated by Krishna. So one has to approach Krishna sincerely. If any of us want to go back home, back to Godhead, we have to go to Krishna with an open heart. You see, even if a devotee tries to cheat Krishna, Krishna will cheat him. For example, Hanuman, when Ram, Lakshman, Sita were in the forest, when Hanuman wanted to know the identity of that person, He went in disguise, you know that? He disguised himself. And then he went in front of Ram. And then when he went and asked his identity, who are you and everything. And Ram said, I am Ramachandra, I am Lord Ramachandra. Immediately Hanuman understood. He immediately removed his disguise and everything and he fell at his feet. And then he started weeping bitterly and said, my dear Lord, why I am your eternal servant in Ayodhya, spiritual world. Why could I not recognize you as my master? How can a servant forget his master? Is it not a great curse? Then Lord Ramachandra told him, you see, you came in disguise to me, so I also disguised myself. Because you didn't want to come with open heart to me, I also disguised myself, so you could not recognize me. And when you agreed to open who you are, then I also reveal to you who you are, who I am, Lord said. So that means even Lord Ram does such things. Why will Krishna not do? Krishna is Purna Purushottam. In fact, Krishna is very famous for doing such things. Actually, if you read Krishna book, you will see a lot of nice pastimes. Krishna is an expert in doing, like Indra tried to cheat the Vajabhasis. What he tried to do for the Vajabhasis? When the Vajabhasis didn't worship him, he wanted to destroy them, kill them by sending heavy showers of rain. One water drop was like one elephant. As thick as bullet was coming down from the sky. He told the Samaraga clouds, kill the Vajabhasis, kill the animals. That was this. When Krishna saw that, he understood this is out of season. Such rains are actually out of season, and this is only due to anger of Indra. So instead of, you know, taking some weapon in hand and rushing to Indra Loka to, you know, have a fight with Indra, what did Krishna do? He left at Govardhan Hill. Just see. See, this is really a humiliation, isn't it? Such a humiliation. If somebody, that is why even with Kaliya also Krishna did such a thing. Kaliya, when he came out with, you know, hundreds and thousands of hoods, hey, who is my enemy? Who is coming into my waters? When Krishna jumped into the waters, you know, and splashing the waters, Kaliya came out. Who is that enemy who had the courage to enter into my area? And when he saw the small blue baby, a blue boy, Krishna, you know, swimming in the waters, you know, he became very surprised. How can this fellow have the courage to do that? So immediately he circled him in his coils. And then over a period of time, Krishna climbed on his head and started thudding on his head, you know. And then all the Kaliya's wives came to see. And it was becoming a big prestige issue for Kaliya. He saw that, what is this? I have been always showing to my wives how great I am. And now this small blue boy is dancing on my hood, you know. He thought, at least if another big snake is dancing on my hood, it is understandable, you know. Because, you know, the opponent should be equally powerful, you know. But I am being humiliated by such a small, tiny boy dancing on my hood. And I am getting defeated, I am not able to attack him. So, the way Krishna purifies a person is very unique. How he purified Indra. How he purified Kaliya. You will see that, Krishna's pastimes are very unique. He doesn't behave like the other incarnations. Krishna is a very... Because he is Purna Purushottam. Everything he does perfect. So cheating, yes, that he does most perfectly. If you try to cheat him, he will thoroughly cheat you. Like Bali had taken the whole universe under his custody. Although the demigods have their place to rule, and the demons have their place to rule, and everyone should be satisfied with whatever place is given for them. But this fellow Bali, he took the whole universe and started claiming to be the king of the whole universe. So the Lord came as Vamandev and asked for 3 steps of land and took back the whole universe. So much so that there was no place to keep the third step. He asked Bali, where is the place of third step? Where should I keep it? Then he had to give his head to keep. So similarly, Hiranyakashipu tried to cheat the Lord. Actually, he thought he has cheated Brahma. Because he asked for immortality, Brahma could not give. So he asked for something close to immortality. I should not die inside the palace, outside the palace. I should not die in the sky or on the land. I should not die in the day or in the night. I should not be killed by a human being or an animal. So he thought of all possibilities, you know. All possible things, permutations and combinations, he thought. And he thought that now nobody can kill me. And everyone thought he is invincible. Now nobody can touch him. But the Lord came as Narasingha Dev, fulfilling all these conditions. and he wanted to show, you fool, if you, whatever conditions you put, I can fulfill all those conditions, still I kill you, you can't be immortal. You can see that. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam should be studied scrutinizingly, to understand the nature of the Lord. How great is the Lord? By understanding His greatness, we will develop loving attraction for Him. Nobody can excel Him in this kind of intelligence, because He is the source of all intelligence. Buddhir buddhimatam asmi. So now we'll end the class. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada.